Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See you live off the record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by the Bahamas Liquidation Center, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope you had a wonderful weekend. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. If you're on the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So the deed is done, in case you missed it. And who would have? I think everybody practically knows. Free National Movement had its convention on June 1, held elections for party officers. And of course, leading up to that, there was a great deal of discussion about the fact that Dr. Hubert Minnis, who is the former leader of the Free National Movement and former Prime Minister, present member of Parliament for Killarney, was seeking to return to the leadership of the Free National Movement against the current leader, Mr. Michael Pintard, member of Parliament for the Marco City constituency and His Majesty's leader of the Loyal Opposition. And Dr. Dwayne Sands was having his position challenged by Mr. Ellsworth Johnson as chairman of the party, and then all the other posts that were up. Deputy leader of the party's post was uncontested. Shannon Dawn Cartwright remains that party's deputy leader. And so, unsurprising to myself, Dr. Minnis was not only defeated by Mr. Pintard, but was soundly defeated by Mr. Pintard. Almost a margin of 3-1 was the victory there, where Mr. Pintard got about 75% of the votes of the delegates to that convention, 486 votes to 163 votes for Dr. Minnis. Dr. Dwayne Sands was able to muster similar kinds of numbers, though not as high, but similar kinds of numbers in defeating Mr. Ellsworth Johnson. He got 431 votes. Mr. Johnson got 222 votes. For Secretary General, Serfent retained that position with 495 votes, and Felicia, 159 votes. Travis Robinson took one of the deputy chair positions, and he had been someone who has been making the rounds. So, you know, and so So the matter is now settled. Now settled. And settled for the benefit of the Free National Movement. See, when it's bound, when uncertainty exists, when people could posture to have a degree of hold of influence or dominance in a party, it creates all kinds of confusion. But when you go and you contest, as Michael Pintard decided to do, and to do early enough, you put the question, and the question is answered, and now there's no uncertainty. Not only is there no uncertainty as to whether or not the Free National Movement delegates desired to remove Mr. Pintard or retain Mr. Pintard or return Dr. Minnis or reject Dr. Minnis's request to become lead again. That question was put and was soundly answered. Soundly answered, such that there's no doubt what the Free National Movement delegates wanted to happen. And they made it happen. Of course, now you get to see what happens after this point. There are those people who will look at the behavior of all the winners and all the losers and see the extent to which there is going to be, in quote, unity in the party. Well, I mean, frankly, from my point of view, that isn't a concern, because I've said this on this show a lot. Political parties are very pragmatic. They're very practical. They want to win. The people who are part of them want to win. Oh, there's a stubborn, naive, malicious set of people who would rather you lose than win. They'd rather you lose because they don't have their way than you win their way. But they are a minority. The majority of people who are members of political parties and supporters of political parties, they want to win. And they will sometimes pinch their noses, despite what they think, so that they can achieve victory. Because Mr. Ingram used to say this, and say this often, your best day in opposition cannot be compared to your worst day in government. And political parties know that. And they know that well. So I don't hurt my head. When the bell sounds and the alarms go off and people decide, well, you could stay with this group or you could stay with that group, they'll do what they have to do. Now I have to say, I chuckled at some of the nonsense, and that's what I call it. I call it nonsense talk that I heard since this election took place on Saturday. One of them is some people saying, Dr. Minnis said, so I'm only saying what they said, Dr. Minnis said, that the odds were stacked against him. Yes, they were. Of course they were. When you have as many delegates unwilling to support you as has been demonstrated on Saturday, or I'd say the odds are very much stacked against you. And unsurprisingly, you should have known that going into that election. Otherwise, the suggestion has to be by you that almost 500 people were indicating to you a willingness to support you and then went on the floor on Saturday and did not do so. Any savvy political person knows. If you go into an election, as I have done, and you do your campaign numbers, you go on door to door, you pick in names and you see, yes, I'm going to support him. No, I'm going to support him. And you see a bunch of question marks, a lot of question marks, you could assume they are going to vote against you. So people who are going to support you tend to be very firm in it, very firm. People who who are not going to support you, they tend to be very firm. There are some people who play games with you. If you have question marks to them, you could bet your bottom dollar most of them are going to vote against you. So unless you didn't canvass delegates, you would have had to be quite deceived or naive not to know you didn't have the support. But we suspect that they knew in advance because you heard the soundings from Dr. Minnis's team, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that and so forth and so forth. And that's normally the sign that you're losing. When you listen to his spokespeople, they were using terms like, we are encouraged. Not confident, we are encouraged. Those are telltale signs. You ain't getting the soundings you want. Right? And so that was nothing surprising about what happened. And so they ought to have known that the odds were stacked against them. Now, if by odds stacked against you, you mean Mr. Pintard, Dr. Sands and his team were able somehow to orchestrate life to get almost 500 people simply to decide they ain't voting against you, and you, believing you could get the majority of support of the people of the party, couldn't get more than 200 people to support you. Something got to be wrong. Something has to be wrong. So I just miss out on right that kind of sour grape stuff by losing sides when it comes to, oh, people were doing this to me, doing that to me. Those people who voted in that election, I was there. I didn't stay the entire time, but I was there. These were free will people voting as they wished. These are adults. And that they were bamboozled into voting one way other than the way they wanted is an insult to those people's intelligence. Absolute insult to those people's intelligence. Another thing I have to say is, and people say, as I have heard, oh, now all these old guards came out and supported Pintard. Now what he can do? Are you all serious? Especially you all on the PLP side of life. I mean, seriously, right? Are you serious? Because if you are a participant in politics, you know that this is standard play. The other day, Fred Mitchell, in seeking to retain his chairmanship, had his opponent have Lady Margaret Kenyon, a former governor general and a former first lady of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the wife of the Lyndon Oscar Finley, come and support the chairman. that I'm a candidate for chairmanship. Nobody, these old guards coming out, etc. Well, how many old guards will show up to support their party and their candidate when it is time? What's your suggestion? Your suggestion is there's an age at which you should never vote. There's an age at which you should never posture to support anybody. You've got to be out your minds. And any older person listening to that kind of talk should punish party people who talk that way. They should punish you. If they could vote against you, they should vote against you, because that's absolute nonsense. You young, you old, you're in between, and you want to support a candidate, you want to support a party, man, stop your nonsense. And then try to discount these persons who come out by saying, oh, how are you going to pay them back? Stop talking stupidness. Stop talking nonsense. Really? Really? All these business people who support the political parties in this country, FNM, PLP, DNA, COI, all these elite so-called people who support these people, what's your suggestion? They are so corrupt. The only reason they do anything is to get paid something. We get paid something? Okay. Good try. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Shivago.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good, man. It's Robinson from Fresh Creek Address, the old driver.
Hey, Good to
how
hear
you
from
are
you. Right there, trying to keep it together.
Good man. I called today. I'm calling.
Listen,
today
you need to give me your number.
I will call you after the show.
Yeah, please.
Yes, sir. I'm calling today though to thank you for your balance, man. You know, and thank you for your honesty. And I listen to you every day, and you really make me smart because I like the way you think on all cylinders, man. And so it causes me to think a lot, you know. And so I really thank you. And God bless you. And I know that you're a good man. And stay straight, man.
We appreciate it, man. But give me a shout, for sure. Give me a shout.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Take care. Yeah. So I don't buy that kind of baloney talk about who can pay who back. And how you can pay this one back and so forth and so forth. That's just belittling, and it's just petty. You upset that things didn't go quite the way you wanted it to go. Right? Before Saturday, I was getting some calls from places, people telling me, boy, I'm hearing that Dr. Minnis has given Michael a run for his money, and that, you know, things are tight. And I said, well, I am hearing no such thing. Not in the least. And these are people I respect and highly regard who are calling me about this kind of thing. The one thing I have learned in politics is when you do politics in a small country such as ours, when there is a run, or what do I mean by a run? When there is a building up of sentiments about something, it is not difficult to know. And it's very difficult to hide. So if you see the public starts to believe that somebody should become Prime Minister of the Bahamas instead of any of the current players, it won't take you long before that name starts running in the circles. My mother used to tell me that all the time. My mommy used to say, boy, Zhivago, ain't nobody calling your name. Don't hurt your head. In politics, when sentiments start building up from the ground, you will know. All right? We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lai. Okay, yeah. In regards to believing that the old gods are coming back looking for something or why they should be supporting, it's so amazing how people can be the way they are. You remember back in the day when Mr. Knight...
Sorry. I'll ask you to do me a favor, please,
yes?
And call back, because the line on which you're calling is bubbling a lot. We can hardly hear what you're saying,
okay,
and I want to hear.
Will do.
Please. Thanks a lot. All right, we got a call on, another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How are you doing today?
Hey, good man. How are you?
Listen, man, you are absolutely correct, which you alluded to a little while ago.
Mm.
If the FNM had chosen Minnis, they were going against what they were hearing from the Bahamian people. The Bahamian people were saying that they did not want Minnis back, and they were convinced that Pintard would be a better leader for the FNM than Minnis. And the delegates went along with that same sentiment. That's why Minnis got that overwhelming defeat.
But you know,
the people spoke, the FNM people listened, and that's what happened.
But you know, delegates are people from the Bahamas, right? So generally speaking, if you're polling a random, if a sentiment exists, generally speaking, you'll get that sentiment even from them.
Exactly. I think nowadays the split. The 100 and whatever what Minnis got to the, it was 400 or 300.
It was 75 to 25% Michael Pintard to Minnis.
Exactly.
And my sentiments before the convention was 80 to 20. That's what I
felt the same way. I absolutely felt the same exact way. So I had no reservations to the outcome of that convention. And I want to make a joke to you, say, you're the one who lied Friday, man. You know exactly what's going to happen. You lied Friday. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, man. Take care.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. Says, Mr. Lang, Dr. Menace keep getting these landslides. He don't just lose, he be losing. So he should stick to doctor duties. He won't landslide there. Well, he had a landslide in 2017, so he doesn't always lose. He has lost a couple now, but the first time he got a landslide victory. That's life. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Marsha Gar, the lady run into me, Marsha Gar.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you could WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Okay, we have a caller. Our caller back. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Mr. Lyon?
Yes, ma'am. That's
hello. Can
better.
You hear me?
Yeah. Much, much better. Okay. I can hear you.
Okay. You remember back in the day when Mr. Peter Nygaard supported somebody openly? Openly?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what? Wasn't he the big gun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big
time
foreign investor. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Appreciate your calling. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Reporters interviewed Hubert Ingram after the vote. Part of it reminded me of something I heard you say some time ago, which I'll never forget. If something is not both true and productive, then don't say it. I know you learned a lot from Mr. Ingram, but that's something that he can learn from you. What he said about Dr. Minnis, one and done, was surely true, but Lord have mercy, he didn't have to say it. It was true. He was being a little gratuitous with his insult, but you know, he's a man, and I suspect he did not like when Dr. Minnis went into his own backyard and made the statement he made. And so in the spur of the moment, it was just something I suppose he put out there, but you're right, he didn't have to say it. He didn't have to say it, but hey, it was said, one and done. So we we'll have to see how that continues to evolve. This text says, well, the crowd surely enjoyed the one and done. I imagine lots of people enjoyed the one and done. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Papa is the GOAT when it comes to one-liners, one and done, man, that was funny as hell. If my ex ever called me, I tell her one and done. You better don't let her know you telling you saying that now. Michael Pintard then I thought graciously accepted his victory. I thought actually had a gracious acceptance, concession speech as well. It did not have any commitment to supporting Mr. Pintard. I want y'all to note that. He never said that. He said he put support the FNM, but not Mr. Pintard. And what's surprising there? What is surprising to me? Listen to me, and I told y'all this on the show. Dr. Minnis has never demonstrated a willingness to support Mr. Pintard. Never one time. Not one time has he really demonstrated a willingness to support. Branville McCartney came out and supported Dr. Minnis as an example, right? Came out and supported him. He liked that. Dr. Minnis has never showed that courtesy. Michael Pintard as leader of the Free National Movement. And I quite frankly believe that's terrible. I believe that's awful for somebody who himself contests for leadership. For people and others to support him. It's awful. But he gave his concession speech. He never agreed to support Ms. Pintard. He said he'd remain faithful to the party. And then at the end of the convention, the leader calls up all his parliamentarians. Dr. Minnis is nowhere to be found. Let me tell you something. Your character is, in terms of leadership, is reflected as much in how you deal with adversity as how you deal with victory. Okay? And so, when they show you, believe them. When they show you. All right? Mr. Pintard, on the other hand, is very gracious. Even seeking to allow for a time and an appropriate way in which they can acknowledge the contribution of Dr. Minnis. Very gracious. Quite frankly, I don't know that too many others would do that. To be honest. But he seeks to do so. He gave a speech last night that was filled with policy pronouncements, suggestions, critique of the Progressive Liberal Party. I think there may be occasion for debating some of those pronouncements, for sure. And now they are off to, as they say, the big dance. 2 years of continuing opposition, but settled on the question of leadership. And then on to this, to trying to win the next election. If anyone thinks that it'll be a piece of cake, I surely do not. I'm not one of those persons. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And the Progressive Liberal Party to eat the next time they meet in Parliament. Remember all that bigging up of Dr. Minnis they did? Here's the real leader. Oh, I'm going to answer the question after convention. Man, Mr. Pinta will be right there. 463 to 167 votes up. To remind them, I imagine, of exactly how that went. This text says, my mantra to all those who are still eating sour grapes is participate or vacate. That's that. Well, I don't invite people to vacate parties, because politics is about addition and multiplication. So you don't want to lose nobody. But if somebody is being disruptive or destructive to your efforts, then they could either vacate or you could vacate them. But generally speaking, you endure and tolerate much as you can, because you need as many as you can in order to succeed in politics. And so multiply and subtract, right? We have a text here. Let me read it for you. This text says, Minnis supporters have put too much personal F&M business in the public for PLP to use against Mr. Pintad. If they were really for the party and for the people and just one man, not just one man, they have put too many personal things out there. Like what? What do you mean personal things? Man, please, come on, man. Nah. They would never have done that. They are not F&Ms. They are for self and cronies. Just like Minnis and Brave are stronger together, Bahamas, with a unified F&M and Mr. Pintad. There's nothing nobody put out there that caused Michael Pintad no issue. Right? Because if that was the case in politics in this country, ain't nobody in the Bahamas who running in politics would run for politics. So don't believe whatever it is you thought was put out there. I agree that there are those who sought to politics. People, because if people do not feel that their strength is enough to get them victory, then they need to bring you down to their weakness in hopes that it will get them that. Y'all heard what I said? And that's a sign of weakness. If the best you could rely on to get elected is another man's weakness, it means that you have no strength of your own. That's really the bottom line. Bottom line. So, and if there is a desire, if there's a desire to simply have a race to the bottom, I could promise you it will not be pretty for most participating. It will not be. So every man and woman could choose their poison. I just don't think the country benefits from that nonsense at all. But I still like to say, do you, boo? Stack says, Mr. Lang, the first man to lead the PLP to victory is always celebrated by all former and present politicians. So Dr. Minnis should have done the same as all F&Ms do. Listen, man, I like to tell people, right? If you believe your mother's child, which is you, should be leader, and want all others to agree with you that your mother's child, which is you, should be leader, why would you get mad if I, my mother's child, believe that I should be leader and want all others to agree with me? what is so unique and special about you, your mother's child, that only you, your mother's child, should be leader? And if people have given you, your mother's child, an opportunity, when another person gets the opportunity, you, your mother's child, should celebrate that mother's child, right? Even if you compete against that mother's child. Once that's done, you should celebrate, if you and them on the same team, that mother's child, and you should do your every best for them to succeed. And if you cannot do that, you are unfit to lead. Yemi, if you are on a team, so you say, and you do not get your way, and you cannot support that team because you didn't get your way, you are unfit to lead. So, do you? But you can't cry that nonsense around me when you had your time and others were willing and required to try to support your cause. And now you don't have your time and you can't let other people have theirs. Mm-mm. Now, if Michael Pintard, as an example, had demonstrated to me an unwillingness to support Dr. Minnis when Dr. Minnis was leader, today I would condemn Michael Pintard in this leadership. I know they had disagreements. I know that they didn't always see eye to eye. That was very clear even before he got the nomination from the Free National Movement. I know that up for a fact. You know, I have privately held conversations with Michael Pintard. And Michael Pintard and I are very good friends, very open with each other. And do you know, in not one single time in our private conversations has Michael Pintard criticized Minnis? Not one single time. Nobody else listening, just me and him. And not one time. He might speak about the challenges he was having. He might speak about how he felt away about the fact that notwithstanding his support, that this was happening and that was happening, but he never criticized a gentleman. Never. Never said anything negative about him. To me, I'm saying to me, I don't know what to do to other people. To me. But that, you know, if you get on his bad side and you run him hard, well, he's a man. He'll have words for you. But generally, I say to Michael many times, and just as I have said to yourselves about how affable Brave Davis is, our prime minister, and he continues to be that, and I think it's one of his strengths, continues to be a strength of his. I say to Michael Pintard often, I say, let me tell you something, your ability to have grace for people's weaknesses and challenges is exceptional to me. Telling it all the time. Because that's the way he is. Right? If you got to come at him for him to come at you. So I don't want nobody come to tell me nothing but no, oh, Michael this and Michael that. If you come at him, he can come at you. Because Sister Benson ain't born no weak man. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I feel bad for Pintard because if he get to be the PM, who will he tend? Who will Nassau or Abaco? Because people in Freeport will think all their economic difficulties will go away in 24 hours. Heavy is the head that bears the crown. Yeah, but you guys, that ain't no issue. You bear the crown, you communicate with people, and you work for them. And they'll understand. They'll know if you're working for them. Most times people are angry because they don't think you're working for them. But Pintard has shown and demonstrated his ability to do that. Say, Mr. Lang, where that beef started? You can't know where a beef started between them. Sometimes men and women could get irritated by something they think you do rather than something you actually do. And some people are so insecure. They'll have beef with the chair if the chair don't turn the way they want it to. His text says, when asked if he respected Pintard, he said, respect is earned. He continues to demonstrate his pettiness. But that, there you go. I agree with him 100%. Respect is earned. Respect is earned. Right? So if you spend a time in office and people vote you out and they are unwilling to vote you back in, respect is earned. There you go. So that's very true. I don't disagree with Dr. Miniz at all. Respect is definitely earned. Definitely earned. And so go learn the lesson. Many might say, learn the lesson. Right? You can't treat people any kind of way. This is for any leader. This is for any leader. Me, Ingram, Pinlin, all kinds. And we're going to offend people from time to time. Whether we say something or do something or don't say something, you're going to offend. But when you take on this attitude, this attitude of insecurity and pettiness, where someone you went to school with approaches you when you become what you become. And you, but I remember what you do to me when you was in primary school. When you take on the attitude that a straw vendor who supported somebody else against you now comes to greet you in your victory, you cannot greet that straw vendor. That, yeah, I know you applied for this, but I am tired of doing things that my people tell me I'm doing for people who are against me. You then show yourself. Right? You've already showed yourself. And you cannot earn respect that way. Cannot. Right? This text says, good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. Thank you for your balance and knowledge you give us. We are truly appreciative. I am happy with Mr. Pintard's victory. His speech was timely and gracious. He is a breath of fresh air and gives us hope for a brighter Bahamas. I am praying for Minister Pintard's success and wisdom. I believe he will make a great prime minister and seeks God's guidance. Finally, he gives me hope as an ordinary mother that my children, too, with proper education and perseverance, can become leader of the Bahamas one day. Cheers to Mother Benson, his mother. God continues to answer her prayers for Minister Pintard and all our children. You know, Dr. Mother Benson has been there to pray for leader after leader after leader of the Free National Movement, and I have no doubt the country. Leader after leader. Leader after, including Dr. Hubert Minniz. Leader after leader. Well, our son now is leader of the Free National Movement, retains his leadership of the Free National Movement. I suspect she would appreciate that those for whom she prayed would support her son the way she supported them in prayer. But I can tell you this one thing I'd say to anybody, including Mr. Pintard, don't focus on the people who are all about themselves. Don't focus on the people who do not support you, who will not support you, who will not show you the respect you deserve, you should get. Don't focus on them. Let them do them, because you cannot control anybody. Make your dialogue and communication with the people who you are seeking to serve, the broad Bahamian public, the supporters of the party, and the community at large. That's all. Let's look at them. Be focused on them. And let these other people fade into their yesterday, as inevitably happens when they don't get the attention they so desperately desire. Because this is what the attention. And so either by their belligerence or by their fake humility, they seek to get that attention. Leave them to themselves. Because the most valuable thing of any leader and any person is attention, your attention. Because it is your attention that gets to direct your energy and effort at producing the results you desire. Remind them, just focus on the right set of things. Say good day, good show as usual. I'm a bit off topic today, but I'm eager to listen in on your show about the budget. I have a question for you and would like to hear your thoughts. Do you think that there is less interest in the budget debate because the economy is doing well and most people who want to work are working? Or do you think we were or are so interested in party politics that we need to discuss this F&M convention? That's a good question. It's a good question. This text is, Mr. Lang, is it possible for the leader of the minister to represent Kelani in the next election? I see him as a distraction and not a team player. I fear that all F&Ms are fed up with him. Well, if Dr. Minnis could decide who runs in the last election, why can't the leader and the leadership of the F&M decide who runs in this election? Of course, they could decide they don't want him to run. Absolutely could decide it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Godang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll just continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
You try the rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang! Send them pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have some text here. The text that the person sent asking about people's interest in the convention versus the budget. There could be many reasons. I'm sure there are people who are interested to talk about the budget, but of course the budget is a known quantity, right? It's not novel. It's we have this exercise every year, and then in the middle of the year we have another mid-year budget exercise, and unless things change about the budget, like some announcement that can massively change for the better or for the worse people's circumstances, the budget is a known quantity. Okay, there has not been announcements that would cause salivation in discussions around any table. I mean, with the greatest respect to my friend Anton, I mean, and he listed off all the things he was proud of. The fact of the matter is, if you go and walk through the society, people are not raving about the budget. They haven't raved about many budgets. They haven't raved about ministers' budgets. And now these budgets, they didn't rave about too many Ingram's last set of budgets. It's a known quantity because nothing fundamentally different is really being announced in these budgets to cause people to have that kind of conversation. Now, Minis goes up against Pintad against Minis. The prospect that a Minis could return, that's news for people, man. That's news for people. So that's what I think is more current. You know, that's not an everyday affair. That's not an every year affair. So I think that explains some of the excitement that people might be feeling about this. Now, in time, this too will fade. And so if you see the FNM isn't doing a new set of things, isn't electrifying people with some more engaging things, then they won't be talking about this either. They'll be going to next. Yeah, maybe it's a water and sewage corporation. Maybe it's, you know, some government program or something like that. We are human beings. We love the novel. And that's how we move in our lives. This text says, how does a person be a card member of the FNM and how much is the dues now? I ain't going to no graveyard, not my mother first child, but I want to be a member. No, not to get a government contract. Well, you go to the FNM's party headquarters as you would go to the PLP's party headquarters and you fill out whatever form they want you to fill out and then you pay your dues, I think. Is it due $5 a month now? It might have been raised, but I think it's $5 a month, so it's not exorbitant, right? And that's what you have to do. So you go to the FNM headquarters, tell them you are interested in becoming a member of the Free National Movement, and they'll give you the form to fill out, and you fill out the form and pay your dues, and bam, you are a member. They don't make it hard for you. Political parties ain't trying to keep you out. They're trying to get you in. This text says, regard the FNM convention, having watched it on Saturday, I'm hoping at the next available opportunity, MP Twazi Thompson challenges for and is elected for the deputy leader post of the FNM. The FNM has put their best foot forward and have their best in key positions of the party. At the convention, the current deputy, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, while standing on the stage making a speech, I was disappointed. In my view, he appeared to be like a fish out of water. Making a speech, he did not deal with not one issue facing the country today, only appears for most part humming to himself to music playing for the 30 minutes on stage while the party leader entered the room, but spoke only some personal information about his new family. In my view, the FNM needs someone in position who has something to say to the Bahamian people. Someone in enthusiasm, charisma, and particularly confidence in making public speeches and can complement the leader. Quazi Thompson, as deputy leader of the FNM, will be putting our best foot forward in that position. Okay, there you go. This text says, Mr. Lang, ain't everybody should be leader and ain't everyone that becomes leader should remain leader. There's a time for everything. It was Minis' time at one point, hell, he led. If you believe in God, one would say a doctor was elected just in the right time to help guide us through the pandemic. Afterwards, his part was done. God only chose him for that chapter after the pandemic began to die down. Minis' purpose from God was done. He won't become prime minister no more because it's no longer his time nor calling. Someone else's time is now. Okay, there you go. There you go. This text says, a call came in. Not sure if I missed your thoughts, if not what you think. Yeah, you didn't miss it. You didn't miss it. But I thought it was a good question, and I was just saying, people, that the budget is not novel. The budget is an annual affair. And unless there is really some profound, earth-shattering announcements in the budget, good or bad, it isn't going to be the talk that's the topic of discussion for many. But how often do you have a former prime minister and leader contest for a leadership position again, especially when people have such strong sentiments about him? Now, that's new and that's novel. So that's why people want to talk about it. And if in time this will not be an issue, people will not be so enamored. And if there isn't some new thing happening in the FNM, or the FNM either. That's just the nature of human beings. You've got to keep them engaged. You've got to keep them intrigued. You have to keep them interested, you know. And so that's the challenge. That's the challenge of leadership. The budget made, you know, it's typical for the budget to be about this. This is in case y'all missed it. So let me give you the structure of the government budget. And you could go every communication essentially going back many years, and you'll see the structure. The Minister of Finance, especially if he is prime minister, will give some broad platitudes about their political opportunity, meaning the opportunity the people have given them to govern, speak about broadly about what they are seeking to do and leading the country to this place and the next place. Once that's done, then they will start to tell you about the economic environment in which the budget is set. So they'll talk about the international economic performance, the growth of the world economy, what the IMF said. They'll talk about whether there's something happening in the global economy that has some negative or positive implications for the country. And they'll set it that way. Then they'll come down to the national economy and tell you how that performed, what was the growth of the economy, and what happened in tourism, or what is in the next space in the national economy. Then they will talk to you about now, present to you the performance of the current budget, and talk about what they expect to happen in terms of revenue, what they expect to happen in terms of expenditure, what they expect to happen in terms of deficit and so forth, how that met with their forecast or will meet with their forecast and so forth. Once that's done, they'll say, now we're going to talk about the upcoming fiscal budget, the one that is actually being laid on the table of the House of Assembly. And they'll talk about revenue and what their expectation is for revenue and why they think revenue will go up or down. They'll talk then about their expectation for expenditure and what are the key areas of expenditure they expect to make and so forth and so forth. And then they'll end with some more broad platitudes. That's the structure of practically every single communication. And then before they terminate the speech, you will hear what are called what are normally announcements of changes in taxation that might bring some relief to people. In some instances, it might not bring some relief. It might bring some additional burden to businesses and people. But generally speaking, these are about, we're going to give an exemption on CMOS or to cut the duty on CMOS or cut the duty on drones and these kinds of things. That's the standard place. So unless there is a profound implication in those announcements for ordinary people, the budget is not going to be talked about much. No matter how much the politicians talk about it, no matter how much the analysts talk about it, ordinary people are interested in bread, butter, budget. I mean, they are interested in bread, butter, budget baskets. Are you going to tax me? No. Good. Are you going to give me tax relief? Maybe some. Here. How much? 10%, 5%. No, you need to do more than that for me. That's what they're interested in. On the expenditure side, what are you going to be spending on? Are you spending on education more? Are you going to spend on health more? Are you going to spend on this more? What are your capital budget proposals? Is it going to affect me and my community? That's what people are looking for. And generally speaking, the government of the Bahamas has lost the ability to have a really great impact through its spending or revenue measures because people, one, feel like they're taxed too much, even if that's not true, that's how they feel. And then two, because we have such a tight fiscal space, the government can't give as much relief as even it might wish to do so. And so there's not going to be a lot of newsworthiness in the budgets. You know, politicians try to get excited about telling you, well, you know, the deficit is down from what it was during the pandemic. What else would we expect? You didn't turn the economy down so that the revenue ain't flowing in. And if you turn the economy up and the revenue starts flowing back up again, if you keep the wide deficit spending that you had during a pandemic, you are woefully either incompetent or woefully reckless. Period. Can I say that again? If the deficit of the government of the Bahamas remained the same after the weaning of the pandemic as it was in the pandemic, the government could rightly be called either woefully reckless or woefully, clearly that's not the case. So the deficit has gone down, and to the credit of the Davis administration, they have not demonstrated a woeful recklessness or incompetence in that regard. Okay? And so, but talking about that as an excitement, maybe your most ardent supporters trying to drum up levels of enthusiasm about you will speak glowingly about that, but it won't excite a lot of people. People don't get excited about that. If you raise if you borrow too much, you raise the deficit too much, people will get nervous about that because that has implications for them, they know. And so they will talk about that. But generally speaking, unless you have some significant revenue raising measure or some significant spending that will impact people, people aren't going to have a lot of conversations about the budget. This text says, I don't think we appreciate the importance of the budget. No government jobs can be available until you budget for it. Asking, when is the prison recruiting? When is the 52-week program recruiting? These departments and government has to wait until the budget is decided before their respective job post is available. But I think people understand the importance of the budget. I think they do, but I think if you have a job, which the vast majority of working age people do, right? People forget that. The vast majority do. Well, you aren't gonna be looking at the budget for a job. If you're a civil servant, 22,000 of them, you're already employed. You're not gonna be looking at the budget for a job. Now, people who are unemployed may be looking to the budget for a job. And let's be fair, the government ain't gonna hire thousands of people, maybe not even hundreds of people. So there are lots of people who would be looking to the budget for hope for their situation. If you are employed, the thousands and thousands of Bahamians who are, but you feel like your money ain't stretching, what are you looking to the budget for? For your money to stretch. So unless the government cutting some expense for you or getting some money for you, why are you looking to the budget? You see, so people know the importance of the budget. They know that the government needs to run its affairs. They know the government needs to fund its affairs. But people also know that I have my own personal affair that I'm hoping to be impacted by what you do. And that is what would get them excited about talking about budget. And this is one of the things that, honestly, like administration after administration have not been so capable of achieving. I didn't say they weren't interested to achieve. Any politician worth their weight in salt is interested in doing things that can impact positively large numbers of people because they need those people to be enthusiastic about them when it comes time to election. For election. But lots administration after administration for almost five terms of elections have found it difficult to impact large numbers of people in such a way that those people feel better off them having been in office. Ingram didn't achieve it in his last term. Christie didn't achieve it. Minnis didn't achieve it. And we'll have to see whether or not the Davis administration achieves it. But if people are running around saying, man, you can't see, I the texter called and said, is it because the economy is doing so well that people have just, listen to me, the Bahamian economy is better off than it was during the pandemic. The Bahamian economy is not well. It is not. Okay? So I don't know what measures you're using for that. 8% unemployment rate, that's not a healthy economy. 2.6% economic growth, when you still have significant levels of unemployment, particularly among your young people, that's not a well economy. Right? We should be glad, but your economy is not well. Your economy needs more to be able to achieve the kinds of activity that can make people feel better off. That's not where we are now. So I don't expect a lot of noise to be made about the budget. Now, maybe during the debate, when people start to get into the details of the budget, which I should do some of over the next couple of days, there might be some items in the budget detected, picked up, that might be newsworthy or discussion-worthy and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist for the Minister of Finance to know that my budget didn't make a splash. He can tell. All he has to do is listen to the society, and he'll know. No splash he does. He'll hear it. He'll hear people say, boy, you all here, they cutting this. You all here, they giving more money here. Boy, you all here. Not one or two people who call these shows because they are interested in promoting F&M philosophy or F&M policy or F&M narrative or PLP policy or PLP narrative. We're not talking about them people who look into market. No, we're talking about ordinary behavior saying, child, you here? Child, you here? Child, you here? In 2008, when the Great Recession happened, me and Mr. Ingram, we produced a budget with significant tax cuts and tax breaks. Tribune's headline, massive concessions or something like that. People were talking about it. We walked inside the F&M headquarters and the floors, and the people were clapping. I was walking on the street and people were like, yeah. And then we did an exercise where we rounded up some custom duties. So the custom duty was 28%. We rounded it up to 30 because we were trying to only get fives and zeros. So we rounded up stuff. Well, one of them happened to be books. I think it was including even the duty on the Bible or something. Boy, when they get all of that, all up massively. The next set of discussion was how we put the duty up on this and that the next day. Boy, I tell you, budget, you impact people negatively or positively, they'll talk about it. They'll let you know. They suggest information, but where does the money for election fever come from? Is it from the public purse or the political pocket, politician's pocket? I ask because I know there's rumor on this. I don't go by rumor. I like the record, the recorded facts. the government of the Bahamas funds zero political activities unless it's done illegally. Can I say that again? There is not one nickel or one dime that the government of the Bahamas is supposed to fund for any partisan political purpose. No political one dime from the government of the Bahamas. Where does the money come from? Donations. It comes from individuals or institutions, local or international, interested in supporting the cause of a political party. That's where the monies come from. Not from some politicians fund their own way, their own money, if they happen to be wealthy enough, but most people, they get donations, contributions from individuals, family, friends, neighbors, or strangers, and from organizations and entities interested in supporting their political cause. But no monies from the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas paid by taxpayers is supposed to go to any partisan political purpose. And if it does, sound the alarm, call the police, tell them somebody tinkering with the public purse. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Hey, Dunkin' fans, get ready to celebrate the sweetest day of the year, National Donut Day, June 7th. For one day only, Friday, June 7th, enjoy a free donut with the purchase of any drink at Dunkin'. That's right, your favorite coffee, iced tea, or frozen drink gets even better with a delicious donut on the house. Choose from our mouth-watering lineup, classic glazed, chocolate frosted, jelly filled, and more. There's a perfect donut for everyone. So mark your calendars and head to Dunkin' on June 7th, because at Dunkin', we make every day a little sweeter. Don't miss National Donut Day, Friday, June 7th.
Bahamas Liquidation and Auction Center, your friendly and affordable vendor one-stop shop, where you can get all of your groceries, kids' lunch snacks, and vendor snacks items at the best prices in town. Don't believe us? Find us on Mackey Street in the red, white, and black building south of Chesapeake Road. We don't stock anything, we just buy deals, so you better get there first. Call us today at 698-0123 or WhatsApp 557-2522 or follow us on Facebook and Instagram for daily updates. Remember, always make us your first stop.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, I'm intrigued by the competitions that exist for leadership of this country. I mean, like everybody else, you know, it's interesting to talk about this personality going up against that personality and all the talk and discussions around that. But those competitions are for people to be able to bring you a national budget that takes care of your business effectively, efficiently, and moves the needle on your prosperity and well-being in the country. Can I say that again? Does a Michael Pintard seek to lead the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Free National Movement, and ultimately the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Why does a Dr. Hubert Minnis seek to do so? Why does a Brave Davis seek to do so? Or anyone else who seeks to do so? Because, well, I don't know if this is why they do it, but I know that this is what they will have to do if they do it. Taking just one example, your national budget. The national budget reflects the government's plans to financially support the operations of the government of the Bahamas. It reflects the government's belief in the amount of money it can generate or that will be generated and what it would seek to do with that money, meeting all already established obligations, salaries, rents, leases, contracts, etc., and then funding any new plan of government activity. That plan can have profound impact on you, citizens of the Bahamas. So you need leaders who come to that exercise with a degree of seriousness, understanding, focus, and execution so that each year they are making a deposit on your betterment. Each year. It isn't likely that they can make that deposit, one big deposit in any single year. But understanding where they are trying to go, they can make a deposit every year. That's one of the things they're seeking to do. They're seeking to impact on the things that are negatively impacting you, crime and violence and those kinds of things. And your expectation is that they have a strategy or can develop a strategy to help bring you relief. We have callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, good day, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Okay, man. I tried to call Howard Grant's show today, but I couldn't get in. It's something, Mr. Lang, how these PLC government party supporters, a lot of them calling in and they're bitter because Pintard win and Minnis didn't win. And the whole thing about it, they because Mr. Maurice Moore, Mr. Nico Grant of Freeport, former Deputy Prime Minister Mr. Brent Simlett, and former Prime Minister Donald Hewitt, Alexander Ingram, because they come out and say they support. They come on and say on Howard Grant show and say those old members, me and Dick, come out and support of Penta. So what they, because they, Maurice Morden was is one of the founding members of the FMU, you expect for them to say at this time that they don't support Penta? They need to catch their senses. They're calling all over the show now because they're disappointed, Mr. Lang.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If Maurice Moore had come out, Hubert Ingram, Hubert Minnis, Brent Simonetta, if they had
Nico
come
Black.
Out and Nico and Black, they had come out against Mr. Pintad, what do you think they would have said? They would have rejoiced
and had a big party.
Okay, but so don't feel bad, bro. You know exactly
what
time it is.
The next one, I'm gonna call your name. But who call you every day? What I'm saying is, I call every talk show. He already called Howard Grant and had half of the last show, so I couldn't get on. I wanted to call right after him. Only person getting after him was C. Allen Johnson. I wanted to get in right after that. You know what I'm talking about. I wanted to get in to say something so he could hear. Because what I'm saying, he is one of them who talk numbers. You know what I mean? They can't stand down. They coming in support. Because, okay, if those old members had gone in support of Minnis, then they would rejoice.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
Did not Paul Adderley
practically
write
the
manifesto for the PLP when he was in the hospital on his bed?
Yes. When they take the last breath, they'll holler PLP. So because there's only two parties that pass against Sam Mr. Lang. Only two parties. The first time I vote F and M. I never look back.
No, but the most important.
Yeah. Mr. Lang, I spent 21 years and 6 months under the Pingdom Empire. They call it respect, right? Mr. Don Rebel, Right Honorable Senator Oscar Pendant. I spent 21 years and 6 months, and I know the hard times on the police force. You think I was going to vote PLP?
But listen to me for a minute, please.
Uh-huh.
Because you are absolutely right about your own tenure in the place, right? But let's think about this for a moment. When those people talk about old guards, they are at one and the same time condemning Sir Lyndon.
Yes.
Who was quite advanced in age when he continued to lead the PLP.
Yes.
So was A.D. Hanna as a leader in the PLP.
Right.
So was any number of their leaders. Are they suggesting that these founding fathers of our nation, these men who gave so much, that they ought to just have died and faded away and not have any concern about the country?
The abundant party that they create. One of the founding members of I just joined the police was in 71 and the FNM started in 71. They say October 71. So you want to and the person I'm talking about, Mr. Lang, he could call you before your show end. He could call you. I could call his name. You know what I'm talking about.
Listen to me. I am not making a partisan point about the FNM and PLP because the FNM right now happens to be the one that came at the convention. What I am saying is... What I'm saying is, this nonsense talk about who is old and who is not old is nonsense talk because every single political party wants their senior people participating and active in their political process.
Right.
Every single one of them. And if they're telling me they don't want Perry Christie to come out and say anything for Brave Davis the next election, then just let me know.
Yeah, just let me know. Because even in the Bible, they talk about the elders. They always respect the elders. They can learn from the older ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate
you
calling.
Lang. Thank you.
Yeah, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah. Good afternoon to the nation.
Hey.
I see why it's called politics season, silly season. I see why they call it silly season. But... You said something if I'm not mistaken when you were talking about the places that political parties are able to get funding from. I think you said internationally, and if that's the case,
foreign people give money in the Bahamas. That's a fact.
Yeah, well, that needs to stop.
It may need to stop. It's not against the law, but it may need to stop, but it's not against the law, yeah. And it happens.
Well, I mean, obviously it's not against the law, Mr. Lang, if you're going to say that's where they get it from, and that's where they get it from. If you're going to say it publicly and they get it from them, obviously that the law permits that. I'm trying to say that needs to stop. Because,
I hear you. What's next?
I want to give my reasoning. And the reason, one of the main reasons, international individuals can have an extreme amount of money. And that means that they can contribute vastly to the political parties here, which can lock political parties into favoritism and having to reward the funding that they receive. And those actions that reward that funding can be in the worst interest of the Bahamian public.
Right. You know what I mean?
I feel one thing that they need to do is this. Like I said, they need to stop that.
I got you. Don't repeat it over and over again, man.
That's clear. Sir, because I have more things to say too, sir.
Listen, you got to be quick for me. I am not going to tolerate today a lengthy submission by you. Will not do so.
All right, sir. Well, if you stop interrupting, then I'll go quicker.
All right. Producer, give me the next caller, please. Next caller. We have next caller on the line? No? Thanks. Okay. This text says, it's great we have a person on the radio weekly that can educate us from all sides of the fence, from a politician point of view, a minister's point of view, and finally a voter point of view. Because as voters and voices of the public, we only knew things from a shallow point of view. We could say what we think is in the water, argue that what we think is the water is there and the water is there, but it's not a valid argument until you actually swim in the water, says that texter. This text says, good afternoon, don't let this caller get to you today. Listen, man, he has to know by now that I'm onto his play and do not have time for that kind of lengthy, drawn out, back and forth dialogue. Will not happen anymore on this show. Welcome to call other shows and do it. This text is, with all due respect to your colleague, Mr. Grant. He talked a lot of stupidness about this unit. I don't know. The country must break up. Every election, we have parties contest for election. This said get thousands of votes. This said get thousands of votes. That's it. Country disunified. The whole democracy is predicated on the competition between players. You have a whole constitution in a party that says if you want to compete for a post in the party, you have to run and so forth. So you run against people, and that's disunity. That's absolute nonsense. Nonsense. Just because people dislike you and don't want to support you, don't mean you disunited. That means that they are disunited from you. That don't mean your party disunited. How your party could be, your party disunited and 400 and some people told one person they want them, and 100 and some people told the other people they don't want them, and that's disunited. And stop talking nonsense. Nonsense, utter nonsense. So what does it mean, or what are the benefits of becoming a member of a political party? Basically the same thing. When you become a citizen of the Bahamas, you get the right to vote. And you get to enjoy the benefit and privilege of maybe even being a delegate, or maybe even being on council, or being able to shape and participate in party politics and in policies and that kind of stuff. So same thing like being a citizen. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. How you doing, man? How you doing?
I am right here, my friend. How are you?
Everything blessed up. You remember the last time we talked, I say 3 or 4 to 1. You say, man, you really think it's that bad?
I was humoring you. I was humoring you.
Yeah, I agree to you, too, what you said earlier, with Doug. He never did respect Michael Pindad. Never. I agree. Never. And even like Saturday night, I would have sure better sign of solidarity, if he'd have come up on the stage, man, stick around in the convention and come up on the stage and hug and shake hands with Pintard and Cartwright and Sands and anyone else up there on the stage, Mr. Roll. And they're going to look more better than that, Rick. But after they find out they lose, after the whole, they pack up all the things And Ron gone up there in this video, come up with him dancing up and down, killing the roach and all that. Yeah, yeah, you retired. We retired. That's what you want. We want you to go dance up and down out there. Yeah. Now, Mr. Lang, I mean, see, what? Chihuahua?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm here.
Yeah, what I think the Texer was talking to you about is when Kevin Harris, being on Howard Grant's show, he say Dr. Menace gave the gentleman $500 million, the former deputy prime minister, $500 million with a contract, and then he came and endorsing Pinchot. So he put
$500 million or $500,000.
And he still didn't go endorse Pinchot. That's what the Texer is talking about. Putting some of your F&M business out there. That's what I mean.
500 million? 500 million?
You said 500 million? Million worth of contracts and thing to the former deputy prime minister and put the post office in his plaza and then he can go endorse Pinchot. That's what Kevin Harris say. So that's what
So listen to me. If Kevin Harris said that, and he was accusing Prime Minister Menace of corruption.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let me tell you why.
Because when you with the Bahamas, you issue it in the interest of the people of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You are not issuing that as a quid pro quo, expecting something in return.
Right. So I agree.
Okay,
I
don't believe that that is true.
Go over the Kevin Harris. You could get the shows to bring it back.
No, listen to me. I'm saying I do not believe Dr. Menace issued the contracts to get a vote or endorsement from anybody. I agree. But what I'm saying is to suggest that you do something for me and I don't in return do something for you is to suggest corruption. Because it's a quid pro quo. That's my point.
Right. And then Kevin Harrison still here say the contributions would be as gentlemen is put to the party out of their own pocket. That's another story too.
But my question,
hang up and listen now, it says 10 minutes to 4. My question to you is with him, Branwell, Renwood Wells, Carl Kalmer, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do now?
I don't know, but Carl Kalmer.
Leg and then run back to the F&M and try kiss up the Pinchot and try break the elbows with him? Or what?
Don't put Carl Kalmer there.
Form their own party with Branwell. I got hang up and listen.
Yeah, man. Don't put Carl Kalman there. Don't put Carl Kalman there. Carl Kalman wasn't on that road. He wasn't on that ticket, no. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take our final break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Chicken Sandwich at Burger King Nassau. It's time to get angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious spicy ingredients on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today, only at Burger King Nassau.
The car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.
and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. This text says Kevin Harris wreaks havoc in all these charts, and this must pay him handsomely. Well, if he has a skill that can be utilized, and he's a PR person, etc., then if he pays him handsomely, so be it. He used to be the PR person for the party when Minnis was in office. He was then at BIS as director when Minnis was in office, and then he was with the party, I think, in PR for a little bit after Pintad became leader. So he has a skill in that way, and if he wants to go and use it to help whoever he wants, that's fine. What you don't get to do is to make statements that cannot, that won't be challenged if they are not rational, factual, and the like. So, but he has no, there's no reason he cannot use his skill to help promote the cause of Dr. Minnis. And I don't criticize or condemn people for doing that. He has every right to do that. Every right. And if he gets paid lots of money, God bless you, bro, make lots of money. Text says, the problem with political leadership is it is a temporary position that is determined by the vote. Many politicians, career politicians in particular, do not want to. Also, there appears to be no, some politicians want to be in their position for life. Yeah, seems like it, eh? Anyways, I think that this exercise has been very helpful to the Free National Movement in that it has settled an outstanding question that needed to be settled for the benefit of the party. Who really commands the support of the majority people in the party? Answer now is clear. Michael Pintad does. Does Dr. Minnis still command significant support in the party? Answer is no, he does not. Do people want Dr. Minnis to return as leader of the party and ultimately as Prime Minister of the Bahamas? Answer, absolutely not. Do they want Michael Pintad to become the next Prime Minister of the Bahamas? The question for the delegates, absolutely so. So no more debating that. All the people who want to act funky, go on Facebook and so forth and kick up and fuss up at meetings, could still do that. But they won't be standing on no factual basis insofar as who gets the support in the party's concerned. That question has been put and answered on Saturday. And if you decide, well, if Michael Pintad is leader, I will not support the FNM, but you carry on. Guess what? See, this is what I love about elections. Elections settles questions. You decide that you no longer can support the FNM because Michael Pintad is the leader. Well, if your support was so influential, then you would have gotten what you wanted. So while Mr. Pintad might not want you to leave, it is clear he don't need you to stay. See, and your decision to go is entirely your own. This is what being free in a free society is. Now, you may get your minute of fame. The press might talk to you and people might talk to you and listen to you and so forth and so forth. But you demonstrate your influence by the vote. Everyone who came out and talked for minutes, every single one of them who came out and talked for minutes, the most they could get in that convention was 25% of the vote. What does that tell you? Michael Pintad and his team were able to get three times more in not the convention than you could. What does that tell you but his support and influence versus yours? So you now sit low, fall in line, or pack up your Georgie bundle, if that's what you choose to do, and go. But elections settle. Oh, been in power too long. Pending been in power to, no, Pending been in power as long as the Bayman people would have him there. And I don't blame him. If people won't vote you in and year out, bless the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that's a democracy. Elections settle questions. Help everybody to figure out where you fit. That's why me, I don't run around pretending to have all this influence in the world. I ran for election, won. Run for election, loss. Run for election, win. Run for election, loss. You think I could run around thinking I could sway Bahamian people one way in direction and get them go this way? Man, I wouldn't be so fooled. Think that if I get up on a mic and tell people I endorse this one, I endorse that one, that can make the difference between life and death for anybody? Please. I tell you one thing. Sometimes it's better for people to guess what your influence is for them to know than for them to know what it is. When you open your mouth, tell people, I for this one. And all you're talking and all you're beating your gum up and people go and get beat very badly, what does that tell them about you and your influence? Stay back. See, now context matters. If you go down in West End and Bimini, when the government is in power, when an MP has just passed, a popular MP has just passed away, and you show up trying to help the F&M win and they don't win, well, you have to measure the context there. But when you was a former leader of a party and you are seeking to regain your position as leader of the party, and others who were with you as cabinet ministers or with you, and they themselves were leading parties, and they get up and say, well, I want this one. And you get beat by three times, three times the number of votes. You assess the level of your influence in the place you thought you had it. That's just life. Don't feel bad. Go on to the next thing. It's a wonderful thing about life. There's always something else to go on to. This Texas Excellence Show as usual, Z. The choice is clear. We will keep in touch. The F&M is in our daily prayers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. All goes well. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.